and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Faye.
And this week we are talking about Little Shop of Horrors, the 1986 version.
Yeah.
And we are
The one you've heard about.
The one that you've heard about. The good one, the one you've enjoyed. We're covering that one today. And we are joined by a fabulous guest, comedian, nature learner, and friend of the podcast, Luba Magnus. Hello, Luba.
Hello.
So you were actually the one that suggested this movie for us.
I was.
And so we always ask when we have a guest on, what is your relationship with this movie?
Great question. Here's the thing. I was not in this play in high school, but I think I must have auditioned for it because I know this whole thing front to back. And I just love it. The puppetry, just everything about it. It's great. And plant life.
It's kind of your thing.
Kind of my thing.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. Yeah. And, the puppetry is amazing.
The puppet is so good. I wish that we had timed this for the eclipse. Like we had we had a bunch of people be like, I know it may be too late, but what about Little Shop of Horrors honor of the eclipse? And I was just like, weirdly enough, Luba's already asked to do it.
Sorry.
And we're doing it when you're in town.
Yes.
So thank you for making it look like we know what we're doing.
Sure.
I was losing my mind.
Forget what I said before. It's because of the eclipse. I was like, I know when that is and when I will be there.
I had no idea that was a part of it because I had never watched that. Like, I think I'd seen the play at some point, but I had never watched it past that and definitely had not watched this movie. So I didn't realize it was such a large part of this movie.
Yeah.
That there was, keep mentioning it.
I will say I'm coming to this super prepared today.
Oh.
Because not only did I watch the movie.
Yes.
Its original ending. I also watched the alternate original ending that they cut. And I watched the 1960s Little Shop of Horrors this afternoon.
Oh.
The movie that the play was based on that this movie is based on.
Jesus, Murphy.
Yeah, so I've done more work for this than I think I did for our Gilmore Girls episode.
That's hilarious. I definitely did a lot of work on our Gilmore Girls episode. Definitely did a lot more work there. If you haven't seen Little Shop of Horrors, it is simplistic and not at all in the same moment. It's interesting and it's really fun to watch. So basically we have Seymour, and he works at a florist shop or a plant shop, and they're going to close it down. And he works with Audrey, who he really loves and is, getting abused by her boyfriend. And he's really into her. And they're going to, close up, lose their jobs, all this kind of stuff. Seymour has found a very interesting plant that appeared during the eclipse. And as he gets to know this plant more and more, he realizes that this plant only wants human blood. And people the city are so interested in how cool this plant looks and how different it is that for some reason everybody starts buying flowers from this shop, and he starts getting more famous. And then this plant gets to a size where, a little finger of blood isn't going to sustain him. He needs full body flesh. This is what we're really required. So he basically feeds an already dead dentist, or Audrey's abusive boyfriend, to the plant. His boss sees this happening. Then his boss gets eaten. And then depending on which ending you watch... Now, I watched the one where the villain wins. I watched the one where Audrey 2, the plant, which is what Seymour has named the plant, takes over the world, basically. Where, the clippings go out. He eats Audrey. He eats Seymour. There's a whole rampage at the end. It's very, Ghostbusters-esque.
Yeah, actually.
It is. It's very, Michelin Man. It's very, destroying the city or whatever, the Marshmallow Man, sorry. Similar ideas in my head. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, point being is that I watched that one, and if you watched the other one, Craig, I'm going to pass it to you.
Oh, so the original theatrical ending, the one that was released in theaters, is Audrey 2 calls up Audrey on the telephone, convinces her to come over, and eats her, I believe, or Seymour, I forget. No, I think Seymour saves her at the last minute. They go outside, and then Seymour's like, I gotta destroy this thing. Goes back in, and it's revealed that Audrey 2 is a space alien, meaning mother from outer space, and then kind of brings the whole flower shop down, and Seymour electrocutes him, kills Audrey 2, and then at the end, Audrey and Seymour get to go to their house in the suburbs, somewhere that is green.
Somewhere that's green.
And, boo.
And then there is a little, and there is, they zoom in on the garden, and there's a small Audrey 2 in the garden smiling at you. So that's the theatrical
I preferred
version.
Mine.
It fucking rocks.
I preferred mine. Like, I just thought it was sick. She was like, no, feed me to the plant so that you'll be even more famous and this plant can
I'll
go
be
on.
With
and
you
I'm like,
forever.
That's sick. I love that.
And then Seymour gets eaten.
Yeah. And it made also, a lot more sense to me. I was like, this guy's got to get eaten. He was the problem.
And I will say that cut end has got to be the most expensive thing ever cut.
That's
from
what
a
I
movie.
Thought, too.
So, because it's a full on rampage.
Yes.
Like with Audrey 2 puppets climbing the Statue of Liberty, like, and like busting through walls and like the size of cities and like throwing cars at people. Like, it looked like. It would have taken so long and been so expensive. They cut two musical numbers.
No, it looked like the most expensive part of the movie.
Yeah.
If it was like somebody gave you a ring and they were like, don't worry, I took the diamond off. And you're like, why? What do you mean?
Didn't
like,
test well with audiences.
Yeah, you know? Audiences are pussies. I can't believe it. Okay, so obviously we have to talk about who the villain or villains are. I think there's a couple of villains in this movie.
Because when you said, oh, it's the version where the villain wins, I'm like, depends on who's the villain. Because that could be the you know, Seymour wins in the, you know, theatrical version. Mm-hmm. And is he the villain?
Well, I mean, in many ways, yes.
I think he is, actually. He's the only one with any agency.
Oh, that's true. Well, also, I mean, the dentist is obviously another villain.
Yeah,
I would say a strong, like a hard villain.
Yeah. And we're beautifully played by
Steve.
Yeah.
I was losing my fucking shit when he came on screen because I was like, what is this? This isn't the guy that punches people. Like, that's insane. And then he goes, I'm a dentist. And I was like, oh, no, this is perfectly cast. Excuse me, excuse me. I was like,
And obviously, I'm going to throw in Audrey, too, as perhaps the main villain or the intended villain of this movie.
Yeah.
But do you want to start with the dentist? Because, man, that was... I say this very delicately, but what a fun, abusive boyfriend.
What a perfect amount of whimsy to this abuser,
She's so like funny.
When he's yelling at her for falling off the back of his motorcycle. Like, there's just something so over the top about that.
Yes, of course.
I don't think anyone else could have made it funny, honestly.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, like, that was just done so well.
It really was done well. It was just so fucking over the top. Him loving, like, just gas. No, the gas is for me, not for you. Him, like, loving that he's torn. Even the scene where... Bill Murray comes in and Bill Murray loves, he's like, no, I come here for this very clearly. I was like, this is such an odd thing to have.
You know why it's in there?
Why?
Because it's in the original movie.
Really?
Played by Jack Nicholson.
Shut the hell up.
And it's a weird scene in like the 80s in the musical movie. Even weirder in the original movie. It is,
I'm gonna have to watch that scene later.
Unhinged.
Like, I'm gonna go home and Google it and be like,
the whole movie, that scene.
Yes.
I want to see Jack Nicholson love going to the dentist and getting really fucked up.
Yeah, and their performances are almost identical. Like,
that's
it's
so funny. Yeah. I couldn't under. I could. It was for like the first like minute of that scene. I was like, I think that's what they're, no, they're not going for that, are they? And then he gets in there and I was like, oh no, okay, no, I clocked that correctly. That yeah. was, yes, this yeah. man is into it. Mm-hmm. Punch me, spit on me, all that, you know, all the fun stuff. I mean, I get it. Don't worry about it. We all have our things, but all right. I will also say, if you do like to torture people, thank you for going into dentistry. There are worse places you could have placed yourself.
That's true.
We thank you for your service on that. Also yeah. to note that he was already dead.
He did kill himself.
He did kill himself. But ooh.
Seymour could have helped him. Seymour just like watched it happen.
Mm. Oh, you're saying he like Walter White'd him.
100%.
Like, I'm just going to watch you choke.
100%. Yeah.
That's so funny.
He was
true.
Like, I am letting this happen. Here we go.
I mean, I would let that happen.
Yeah.
Like, I am full support. Eat that man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's indefensible bad villain. He's yes. a very yes. bad guy.
And I'm like, yes. yes, eat that man.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, just now I'm branching off into more like Audrey 2 stuff, but like also eat that boss. I'm yeah. sorry.
Mm.
That man has taken your idea. He is underpaying you. He is abusive. He was willing to kick you out on the street. Yeah. Eat that man.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I think honestly, no, I'm here. I think Mushnick, got a bad rap in that movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Okay. Cause I mean, it starts with Skid Row.
Yeah.
And we have Seymour selling is saying like, I was born on the streets. I was an orphan. Mushnick took me in. He gave me a crust of bread, a place to sleep, and a job.
Mm-hmm.
And also, and then he's like, I've got to let everybody go because we're not selling everything. But Mushnick has 2 employees on staff and still being paid and working, even though they haven't sold anything all day. That's a good boss who's like, I'm keeping you on as long as you can.
Also, one of them is a bull in a china shop.
Seymour is no good at his
Seymour
job.
Seymour is abysmal at his job. I would fire him so fast.
That's what I mean. Like, I think Mushnick is... Then Mushnick sees... he sees Seymour chopping up...
Mm.
Local dentist.
local
dentist and Audrey's boyfriend with an axe in his shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is like, I need to turn you in, but also, he even says, but also you're kind of like a son to me.
Mm.
So why don't you just fucking skip out and hide for a bit?
I'm just saying, you've never had a boss where like, if you saw them getting eaten, you'd be like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. I also want to know, how much was Seymour getting paid? Maybe he was just kept on because the boss is being advantageous. Just saying, just putting that out
true,
there.
True.
It sounds like an abusive kind of another abuser getting eaten. That's the name of the show. Another abuser getting eaten. Yeah, there we go.
I'd watch that show.
Oh, yeah.
Wage theft is theft.
Yeah. Listen, we put an abuser and a tiger in a cage. Tune in tonight at 9 to see how that goes.
It's another abuser getting eaten.
I wouldn't mind it. I'd tune in. I'd place bets.
I don't know. I think Mushnick just got a bad rap. I think he's got that one moment at the end where he... I think we're supposed to think he's a villain, right? I think we're supposed to think that he's going to get eaten. It's justified that he gets eaten by this plant.
Okay.
And like, really all he's doing is like kind of maybe tattling on someone who murdered somebody, which I say is a thing you should tattle about.
I love that you're calling it tattling. I just love picturing you coming up to a murderer and going, I'm going to tattle. What is your mother's phone number?
Snitch, yeah, I guess
yes.
is maybe the...
Yeah.
Snitches get stitches and tattlers get a slap on the wrist.
I thought you were going to make it rhyme for a second. I was like, tattlers get what? What's the word we're looking for here?
I don't have that musical ability. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm pro eat your boss, I guess. I mean, in this musical situation. Also, that's all he can eat. That's all he wants. That's all that will feed the plant.
And, oh, the plant? Oh, yeah. I am in full defense of the plant.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Audrey, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I call this, so I came up, the tragedy of being an obligate carnivore. Is what I would call this. Okay, so let me walk you through this, right?
Okay.
Okay, science me Craig a little bit here.
Yep.
Right, so morally, okay, mm-hmm. our ability to judge at all what is right and wrong to eat comes from the fact that we're omnivores, right? Where we can get our essential vitamins and nutrients from a variety of sources. Mm-hmm. We can eat plant matter, we can eat meat, we can get it from all kinds of things. So if you don't think eating meat is right, that's a moral stance that you can take because we have the physiological ability to get all our vitamins and nutrients from plant matter. Mm-hmm. But if you own a cat, you know cats can't do that. Cats are what they call an obligate carnivore. They have to eat meat. They cannot synthesize retinol and other vitamin A's. They need to get it from animal flesh.
Boom.
So I think if you are a lover of animals, right? Mm-hmm. And you are a vegetarian or a vegan because you care about animals, I think you must also admit that it is cruel to not feed cats meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they will starve, they will die, they'll be malnourished, everything. So Audrey, too, has an even more restrictive diet than that. Mm-hmm. Can't eat chicken, can't eat beef. It's just human blood.
Yeah.
Right?
They didn't really try anything else, but... I would just like to make that point. It didn't seem like he tried anything else.
Water, fertilizer, the normal things that a plant would have, and none of it worked.
No, yes, I understand that. I'm just saying I'd try a pork chop first.
Oh, I see. Other meats.
Seymour does offer to go get him a sirloin from down the street. And he says, that's it. True. We're done.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Audrey, too, calls up Audrey and is like, come on over. I'm going to eat you.
Well, yeah, but he's been giving him a taste of the good stuff the whole time.
That's
you know what I mean? He should have started him on a different diet.
Right.
I don't think I would have started a plant like my finger. Here you go.
It'll get the taste for human blood.
Yeah.
I'm like,
he would never make it as a woman. I'm like, oh my God, you lose so little blood and you're destroyed. You're fine. Fuck up. Jesus Christ.
Also,
it's called having a period, buddy.
Sorry, full stutter there. But some of the lyrics in that one song, doesn't it say it has to be human? Does it have to be human?
Asking him.
Right.
He's asking him. If I'm asking a child.
Does it have to be filet mignon?
Yeah. Does it have to be chocolate? Yes, it has to be chocolate. And I trust me, if you bring me like a fucking, I don't know, a cookie, I'll still eat it.
Yeah. I don't know. I really feel like it's super, like, and to extend this metaphor even further, like if you crash landed on a planet and the only thing to eat were like sentient potatoes.
Mm. Ooh, yum. That sounds so good. Sentient potatoes. That sounds like something you would order at a really hipster cafe.
Ooh, what would that be?
Sentient potatoes.
Get me an order of the sentient potatoes.
I don't know. Well, there would be cheese for sure. I don't know why. I'm just certain about that. There'd absolutely be cheese.
Yeah.
I think they'd be floating a bit or something. You know what I mean? It would be a lot of presentation, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Like on a brain-shaped plate or something.
Yeah.
We're just trying to make this as off-putting as possible.
Just describe mashed potato poutine. I think that's what
we
just
said.
It's gotta have cheese.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Mashed potato poutine. I've never done that before. Mm.
You gotta
put curds on the fucking
You know what's good? You know what really makes a good poutine? Just to lean into being so Canadian for our boy. Little stovetop stuffing on your poutine.
What the fuck?
So you got the fries, the stovetop topping, the stovetop stuffing. Yeah. Then your curds and your gravy.
Oh, buddy.
The salt will kill you, but like.
Can you guys tell we're recording around dinner time again?
Didn't KFC have a dish like this, but with chicken on top?
A layer of corn to it, too.
Oh, the corn layer puts me off.
I like that.
Oh, whoa.
No, I like that. A little sweet crunch in the middle? Absolutely.
Is it a crunch?
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Like, I was like, well, there's chicken in it. No, the crunch is the corn.
Yeah.
Yeah, and imagine if that was like, I don't know, just alive.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this before, but my dad used to pretend that when I was a kid, everything, like if I didn't want to eat something, like if I didn't want to eat my peas, he would pretend they're alive and go, no, don't eat me. And I'd be like, ha, 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 ha. And then I'd eat them. And then he'd go, no, no. And I'd chew them even harder. And I'm like, that's psychotic, right?
A little
like,
bit. That's,
yeah.
Like, and I thought it was hilarious every time. I was like, this is the funniest game. I love this.
I will say there is something very funny of that.
No, don't eat me.
Yeah.
Which I guess is what it probably is to Audrey, too. It's like, no, don't eat me. Oh, yeah. You're a funny little voice. Yeah. Squish, 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 squish.
Yeah, especially I would say Audrey. Yeah. I'm like, that's a voice that needs to be eaten. Okay.
Seymour. Seymour.
Like, you sound like a chew toy. Like, yeah.
I love it.
Oh, what? No, I love it. Oh, okay. But, like, I'm just saying.
I will say, of all the people in this movie who didn't have anything coming to them, mm-hmm. it was Audrey.
Oh, yeah.
Audrey's the only good person in this movie.
Yeah, truly. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, you're just getting... She's like, I can't do any better. And I'm like, fuck. Yeah. That's a vibe.
And if I leave him, he'll beat me and he'll get angry and this is what he does. And you're like, oh.
It's crazy how dark it is, but still... So funny and light at the same time. You're like, how are you achieving this? This is crazy.
Oh, the tone is great. Like, I just love her line. It's like, you wouldn't love Mike Messina. I'd go out in cheap, revealing outfits, not the classy stuff like I'm wearing now. Right. I was like, oh, that's great. Again, just to bring it back to Mushnick here.
Mm.
Mushnick also is like, Audrey, this guy is bad for you. You deserve better.
Yeah, but wanted to stop before Axe murder, which I think is where he was like, listen, you need to leave him, but also we probably shouldn't kill him either.
I think that's a fair moral stance
to
take.
I think so, too. I mean, I've got a little bit Earl had to die in me, but...
that's why he doesn't go to the cops right away.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I'd probably... I'm not saying I'd chop him off. I'm just saying I wouldn't be right across the room ripping the mask off of him.
No.
He put on himself for funsies before he wanted to forcibly torture me. Mm-hmm. I'd probably be like, yeah. He also says in his song, he's like, yeah, when I was a kid, I like... bashed in a cat's head.
And shot animals with BB guns.
Yeah, I shot puppies with BB guns and stuff. I was like, no more of you, I think.
Oh, yeah, super, super bad.
He's bad.
Yeah, I'm all for Audrey 2 eaten.
Yeah. Him.
I think maybe Mushnick didn't quite, and then Audrey the least. Whether or not she got eaten or not is up for debate.
So which ending did you two prefer?
Well, I haven't seen the one that you're talking about at all. So to me, there's only one ending. I've heard of the other ending, and I'm just going to put this out there. Any kind of director's cut or anything like that, I stay so far away from.
Mm.
I have a bad experience with director's cuts.
Tell. What's your bad experience?
My favorite movie in the world is Amadeus. I don't know if you've seen it. If you haven't, watch it. But the only readily accessible version is the director's cut. And to me, that changes the whole opinion of Amadeus Mozart.
Oh.
Like in the shorter version that I watched so many times on VHS, he's fully kind of quirky. Obviously a little dark, but the director's cut really makes him out to be much more unlikable.
And I think I watched that one.
I think that's the one. I think that's the one where we watched, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the one we watched, because I was like, he did not come off as super likable in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a flawed character in the other one, but when I watched that longer director's cut, I was like, oh, jeez, that's not what I wanted from this movie.
So, agreed. I get what you mean, because you're like, I mean, trying to watch... Blade Runner is a fucking nightmare. I have no idea what that movie actually is because there's like six different cuts of it, directors, finals, like whatever.
Yeah.
But in defense of this movie, what I will say is this.
Yeah.
It is based on a movie.
Yeah.
It is based on a stage musical, which is based on a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
The horror movie, the original, does not end in either of those ways. The ending of the original Little Shop of Horrors movie is basically Audrey is barely involved. Mushnick doesn't get eaten. Everybody else who dies other than the dentist is just like a random person who shows up.
Okay.
And the way that it ends is Seymour gets so upset with the plant for ruining his life and turning him into a murderer that he crawls in to the plant to kill it. And the plant eats him. And then a flower sprouts with his face on it. And he goes, I didn't mean it, which is so... In terms of ending, so then the play.
Oh, I'm so sorry I didn't watch that version.
No. That's
it. Oh, let's all go watch
that. No. That's the original movie. Yeah. Then the play ends with Seymour and Audrey dying.
Yeah.
And they did that ending for the original movie, and audiences hated it. So they changed it. So the original theatrical is actually like the third different ending for the movie.
Right.
So I don't know if that changes your opinion of director's cut at all, considering that's like the ending's been messed with so much. But
I just love the one we watched ended with the end, exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point, question mark. Like,
and then Audrey 2 bursts out of the screen at you. Yeah.
No, I would say I would watch it just because it looks sick.
Yeah.
Like, continue to watch the version you enjoy, of course. But if you haven't seen the other one, I would watch it just for the visual of it.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
It's really cool to watch. It's obviously the most expensive thing they did.
It sounds like you're trying to sell me the Lord of the Rings extended cuts where Peter Jackson is all just like, hey, what if we surfboard on these skulls? You know, like,
listen, it's just 10 more minutes. It is just 10 minutes.
And honestly, you promise.
Don't Feed the Plants is a bomb.
Yeah,
it's been stuck in my like. Don't feed the plants.
It's got to be Suddenly Seymour for me. I've been singing Suddenly Seymour for like 2 days now. Yeah. It is so. I don't know how it's lodged in there. I barely know the words.
Yeah,
I just keep going Suddenly Seymour,
And then she bangs it. Suddenly Seymour, you know. Oh,
Skid Row's got a nice little place in my heart too.
Yes. I love the three, like, I don't know. They're not backup singers because they have like main, but they're like the kids.
The Greek chorus is what you would call
exactly.
That.
Yes. Love that. Like, upset. That always hits for me. You could put that in anything. I'm like, if you took that vibe out of Hercules, it would not be the same movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're essential.
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah. So many bops and beautiful.
And can we talk about Levi? Wait, what's his last name? Stubbs. Levi Stubbs is the voice of Audrey 2.
Mm.
He was in the Four Tops. I don't know if you know the Four Tops, the Motown band Four Tops. Baby, I need your loving. Really?
Yeah, yes.
You guys did? Yeah, I
know that. Yep.
You're looking at me like I'm nuts, Craig.
I'm not nuts. Just like this is...
That's not really in his wheelhouse. I know what you're talking about, but that's not really in Craig's wheelhouse.
No, he definitely has Motown energy is what I was saying.
Yes.
I just, like the music is just so good and it's so well cast. And just front to back, great. I don't even know what to call it. It's a movie, but it's an adaptation and it's all
it's
the
so
things.
Good.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the special effects for a minute? Because...
Yes.
This is an almost 40-year-old movie, 38 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Looks flawless.
Looks flawless. And it's all practical.
It's because of the fucking puppets. You want me to go on a rampage?
Go.
Go.
Get them, Luba. Get them.
Good. The visual effects no, you lost me. I got too excited. I got too excited, and then it all just got stuck. No, I hate... overused CGI.
Mm-hmm.
The best movies use practical effects. Alien, like, you know, just...
Oh, The Thing. Every time I watch The Thing, I'm like, this is so great.
And this was... I thought it must have been a Henson puppet, but his son was one of the puppeteers. He was the principal puppeteer for the plant.
And Frank Oz film.
And it's a Frank Oz
film.
It's in the universe.
Yeah.
Like
5 or 6 puppeteers to do Audrey 2. It's under, and this is something else I just recently learned. Stop me if you know this. But in order to make first of all those lip movements it does are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's articulate, like it's unreal. But in order to pull that off, they had to film it undercranked so they would slow the footage down and then speed it back up.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So it looks more smooth and natural. But the consequence of that is that Rick Moranis is acting slower whenever he is interacting with Audrey too. Wow. So he's, so I don't know if it's like, you know, 5/8 speed or or whatever it is. Yeah. But like I saw a breakdown of it where they're like, if you really look carefully, you can see like that the way that he's walking, it doesn't like carry his weight forward because he's having to like move slower than he does. And it's like so subtle and he does it so well, which I think just like, again, just one more check mark on that performance, right?
What came before? Was Ghostbusters before this or after? I just think he's worked a lot with practical effects is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah. It would have been after because Ghostbusters was the year I was born, 84.
Oh, well, look at that.
Yeah, and you know what? Well, I know that one because I love Ghostbusters, but two, there was a thing going around the internet for a while of like, what movie was number one the month that you were born? And if you look at 1984, it's Ghostbusters for like six of them. Then like in August, it's like something else.
Yeah.
And then in September, it's back to Ghostbusters.
Wow.
Like Holy shit, it's unprecedented.
That's, I mean, it makes sense. And to go back on the practical effects, I just saw the most recent Ghostbusters. I won't change topic too hard.
Oh, no, you can change as much as you want. We're not too firm.
There's a Rick Moranis through line here.
Yes.
But I really enjoyed it, and it's because either they used more practical effects or they did CGI to look like practical effects.
Mm.
They did a really good job. Have either of you seen the most recent?
I haven't yet. Not yet.
Yeah, visually, I liked it way better than the last one, I think, is because it looked more authentic.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
more puppets.
Yeah, that's what we want. We want more puppets. Yeah.
Underrated movie, but Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy used all practical aliens as well. And they looked goofy, but they were supposed to. It was like, you know, waddling around and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, practical. Like, and I understand why they don't, because like that looks so expensive. Like you look at the behind the scenes photos of these people and there's like guys cranking on huge levers to get like Audrey to go up and down. And like, you're like, that can't be easy to build. It can't be easy to film. It can't be, but my God, does it pay off.
Yeah. And he, Audrey too, is a character I identify with because I get so hangry. Like I am some, I swear to God, the second my blood sugar starts dropping, I become, it's indescribable almost because I know it's happening, but I can't get off the train. Like I know I'm being a bitch. Like I know it when it's happening and I can even like say out loud, I'm like, listen, I know I'm in this corner. Like I can't, none of this is your fault, but I am raging out. I used to, like I've had boyfriends in the past, like they treat me like I'm a toddler. Like they carry around granola bars and stuff because they're like, oh, she might get fussy. Like, you're gonna need some water or some cheese or something because like I am a fucking asshole. Like not just like regular hungry, you know what I mean? I'm hungry. I've been hungry going to, I was so hungry last night. I went to the wrong, you ever go to the wrong location? Like you're supposed to meet your friend. I was supposed to meet a couple of my friends at an Earl's and I was like, okay, Earl's. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And there's three locations. And for whatever reason, they're like, okay, one of this is Yorkdale and one of them is Yorkville. And I was like, yeah, that's not. Guys, just call it Bloor, you assholes, okay? I wouldn't have made this mistake. And it is still my mistake. But like, oh man, I was in that Uber just like fucking rock. Because you know when you're like, I don't know about you too, but when I go to a restaurant, I prepare myself. I'm like, oh, I will be hungry when I arrive.
Yeah.
Like I need to have a hunger on in order to finish a full plate of food, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was pretty, as soon as I showed up, I chugged a glass of wine. I was like, I'm actually furious right now. And it's my own fault, and I know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't. I would love nothing more. Oh my God, watching this plant just be like, I'm hungry, and then lie down. I'm like, I'd love to do that.
Oh yeah.
I would love if that was my life. Like if
feed
just-
Feed me.
Feed me. If every time I wanted to be fed, I just lied down. I'm like,
feed me, Luba.
I'm like, that'd be the fucking tits.
Honestly, same though. Like it was the hardest lesson I ever had to learn as a person was just like, you do get cranky. Like I didn't know it.
Oh, no, I've always known it.
I was in college and we were rehearsing for a play And I was very much like the poor student at that point. And I was just like, if we can just like, I don't need to go buy anything. I don't need to buy food because I have food at home. Uh-huh. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to wait till we're done and I'm going to go home. But it had ended up being like, you know, like 8 hours since I'd eaten or something like that. And there was somebody and I snapped on her. I was like, you know, just learn your fucking lines or something like that. Because
Can't even imagine.
I know.
I can't even imagine because those words coming out of your mouth.
Or it's like, can we stop goofing off and just do your lines or something like that?
Whoa.
And to be fair, she had goofed off a lot. I also happened to snap at her when she was doing
her. You waited until she was actually doing what you wanted her to do?
You know, that's why you don't bottle it in. And then I just remember that. I was like, so I went to the school cafeteria and mm-hmm. I got a muffin and I ate it and my mood changed
immediately.
Like that.
It's crazy.
I was cooperative. Yeah. I was I was like, sorry. And she was like, no, it's okay. Like we're all, I had been doing it. And anyway, but I was just like, oh man, just pay the money and buy the food, dude. Just like there's few things in life that.
Dude, if you ever talk to me like that, I do exactly what you wanted immediately. I'd be like, oh my God, oh my God. Like just, I think I'd have a full meltdown. It's like when the nice teacher gets mad at you and you're like, oh no, like the lines have been crossed. We're so far beyond. Like I just, it would freak me the fuck out.
You know what we should do? We should invent something that, because they've got those continuous blood sugar monitors, right? Mm-hmm. We should get one of those, hook it up Bluetooth to a sign that's like lights up if you're hangry.
Yeah.
Like don't take anything I say personally. I'm hangry right now.
Like the first time I saw those when Snickers was, I don't even know if they still do it, but that campaign of like, you're not your regular self. You're just hungry. Like
right.
I've never identified with a commercial more in my entire fucking life. Every time I see one of those, I'm like, yep, that's me.
Can I put out a theory here though?
Absolutely.
Because what you're basically suggesting is that the plant is hangry.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes,
of course.
That is the theory of this thesis.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue, in part, yes, like the plant is suffering, it needs food, it needs blood.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's also part of its biology. I think it's a very good manipulative plant. You know, a lot of carnivorous plants, let's say they give off a sweet smell.
Mm.
You know,
I think
that this plant is really good at being manipulative to its advantage. That is how it entices people. That's how it gets.
So you're saying I'd probably date this plant.
Oh, Rebecca would be the target.
Sorry, are we flirting right now? Yes. Oh my God.
Also, Lou, so thank you so much for bringing that up because I had I also had this written down.
Are we talking biology?
We're talking biology.
Are we talking
here,
botany?
Where I was like, well, one thing I think that like you could point to as villainous that Audrey does is promises you things, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm even going to quote the cut song, Don't Feed the Plants, but. Mm. They may offer you fortune and fame, love and money and instant acclaim, but whatever they offer you, don't feed the plants. They may offer you lots of cheap thrills, fancy discos in Beverly Hills, but whatever you do, don't feed the plants. Okay, so clearly they view plants trying to like give you something that you want as being villainous, but that is exactly what all plants do.
Yep.
Fruit?
Yep.
To spread seeds.
Yeah.
Pollen, or nectar, I should say, is to entice pollinators. Like that's just...
Yeah.
That's what plants do.
That's what they do.
And do it very well.
Yeah. I think that's actually, I think if you keep one of these plants going, that's just good for the environment. You know what I mean? Every time somebody dies, instead of getting cremated, you just shovel them into that guy.
Oh, Rebecca, you're speaking my language.
Like, I'd 100% do that. I'm like, yeah, put me in a tree, man. That's sick.
Oh, I'm all about, there's ones now, there's mushroom coffins. Oh, I want one. Put me in the earth, let the mycelium take me.
I'm down for that. That sounds awesome. Yeah, I want to be connected to a bunch of other things.
Oh, way better than like, you know, being pumped full of like formaldehyde so you never rot it, put it in a cement thing.
Oh, and it's bad for the dirt. It's bad for everything. And it just the chemicals and let's say cremation, like all of that pollution, bad. Death is dirty.
Yeah.
Anyways, why did we get here?
Because we always get here.
Hey, we got Luba the comedian. She's here to talk about it being eaten by mushrooms after she dies. You want in? Yeah.
Luba, friend of the podcast and owner of a mycelium coffin.
I brought
use
it with
promo
me.
Code I want to die.
Oh, yeah. No, but it's a way better. And, like, here's the thing. There is a version of Audrey 2 existing on Earth that is very sustainable.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't have to be a murdered person. It doesn't have to be just recently dead. Yeah. Still kind of bloody, I think.
Car accident anything.
Yeah.
Have one down at the old coroner's office.
Just,
you know?
Rifle them in there. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Carbon neutral.
Wow.
I think we've solved it, team.
We're
we did
something.
It.
Yeah.
Let's write the sequel.
Yeah, they're like, okay, we went a little nuts in that flower shop. But, but.
Little shop of eco-friendly afterlife solutions.
That's good. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are dying in this town. They keep buying flowers.
Hey, there's a lot of reasons to buy flowers.
Well, the one guy was like, listen, we got to keep this order up. That guy's got a big family and they're all dropping like flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, and weirdly, I'll just mention this. The original movie has a very long runner of this. Again, like, it's so bizarre because you see it.
I really want to watch it now.
It's an hour, 10 minutes. It flies by. But there's this woman, named character, Miss Shiva, who keeps coming in and, like, the joke is that somebody dies in her family all the time, and she's always buying flowers. Always.
Hilarious.
It's like she comes in and, like, is like, that was my cousin, and he died, and there was an explosion, and somebody died, and a kid died playing with matches. And, like, she just keeps coming in every day to buy flowers to someone who's died. There's also just a guy who eats chrysanthemums. He's like, comes into the flower shop and salts them and just eats them in front. Like, it is a bizarre movie.
I like that some people were taking some risks, it sounds like.
Oh, it's actually genuinely funny. There is a point where Mushnick, who's in.
Okay. Sorry, I was looking up if chrysanthemums are edible. They are.
They are.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But there's a thing where these girls come in and they're like, you know, oh, we have $2,000 to spend on flowers, but we just came in to see Audrey too. And he goes, $2,000? Who died? Who died? The Chamber of Commerce. It's just like, that's a good line.
It is a good line.
You know? Anyway, it's very interesting to see how the original movie influenced the musical. Like,
yeah.
You're like, oh, I see why you made a dark musical about this weird 60s movie in the 80s and made the changes that you did. And yeah.
No, it slaps. It slaps. Honestly, you guys should go watch it. I really enjoyed it. Pleasantly surprised. And you know me, I do not like a musical.
I don't like musicals either.
There we go.
I don't. Like, a very
But this one's just so,
view.
Like, dark. Like, but I love Halloween. And this feels like it's got that whole Halloween vibe to it in a certain way where it's, like, kind
of,
like, creepy but fun in the same time. Like, bloody almost, but not.
Yeah, it feels like almost like it's making fun of itself.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you want a musical? How about this plant that eats people? Somewhere that's green.
And what are you mad at this plant for giving you everything you ever wanted?
Yeah.
Money, fame, popularity, your own TV show. Come on now.
Yeah.
You should have wanted less, I guess.
Also, it could be argued, and therefore I will, that...
Take it away.
Audrey 2 kind of only starts taking on more human things in terms of, like, greed and, like, I want more and I'm gonna give you what you want after it starts eating human blood. So I'm arguing that if you had started it on, like, I don't know, kittens, it would have been a little more, like, less socially manipulative, less.
I think you shouldn't have used kittens, but yes. If I've ever seen any demonic fucking animals, they're fucking cats. I'll tell you that for free.
Okay.
Like, maybe like bunny rabbits or something.
Yeah, or maybe something that wasn't so, I'll call it, socially sick.
Oh, so you're saying it's like taking on the qualities of the people that it swallows.
Sure.
We gotta take this to the lab.
Yeah, because he swallows somebody abusive and then he starts getting more verbally abusive. Yeah. He swallows the greedy shop owner and he gets greedier. Holy Lifton. I think you got something there.
He just eats Seymour's blood and becomes kind of a little whiny bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It holds up.
Yeah, it holds up.
It holds up. That's perfect. Do you guys have anything else to say about our boys here?
No, I love
no?
it.
No, Luba, any closing statements?
No. Me, I'm like, I have so much.
No, Audrey too is right. That's where we close it down. That's Audrey how we do it.
The sentient potato.
And that's who I will be ranking as far as their villainy. So I am doing the hangry scale. So from a Snickers commercial up to when water tastes sweet. That's not good. That's not good. You're at a level of hangry that's inappropriate. I am going to give Audrey two. I'm going to give him a pack a couple of snacks. You know what I mean? A couple of granola bars. It'd be good. You're not that bad, but you will become a bitch at some point.
All right.
What about you, Luba?
I'm going to go on a biology scale of carnivorous Venus flytrap to a chrysanthemum. We're going full Venus flytrap.
Yep.
Yep, it's doing what it does.
It's doing what it does. Yeah, yeah. Facts. What about you, Craig?
Love it. So I've got the movies that became musicals that became musical movie scale.
That's so funny, dude. That's so complex. I love that.
This is what this did. So on a scale from Hairspray,
yes,
to the producers.
Ah.
Oh, you don't know the producers?
I'm learning. I'm learning.
I'm gonna give Audrey 2 a Mean Girls.
Okay.
Because. Just recently released the musical movie of that. Mm-hmm. So, because the cruelty is unnecessary, but it's just their nature.
Mm. Oh yeah, great one. That's like a great skill,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And very like not. Every week.
I know.
You come in and you're like, are we gonna have the same scale? I don't think so. Holy shit. It would have taken me all afternoon to even get that together. Not a fucking chance.
I can confirm that conversation happened.
Yeah. And guys, before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, of course, there's a couple of ways you can help out the podcast. If you would like to follow us, you can follow us on TikTok or Instagram at Villain Was Right. You can also follow us on Facebook. If you would like to email us your suggestions or comments or thoughts, you can email us at villainwasright@gmail.com. And if you like this podcast.
We're learning everything, everybody, on the podcast.
That's so dumb. Okay. The podcast, if you enjoy us, please rate and review us. That would mean a lot. And if you have a couple of bucks.
Yeah, you can help us out on Patreon, patreon.com/thevillainwasright. Patreon is a monthly subscription service where you get to support the artists that you love and get some really cool benefits with it. So at our highest tier, you get 2 bonus episodes every month. Rebecca is on the tear where she is doing the worst B movies.
No, the best of the best.
Just the best of the best. So we're doing Birdemic this
shock and this terror.
Month. Yeah, clearly a movie that needs a subtitle.
I just love your face.
I also picked one for this month, and it has been Dix the Musical.
Yes, that's
which
right.
Which is super fun. So if you like, this is kind of like B-movie musical kind of tie-up here. So if you want to hear that, we also have audience choice votes for what we cover the next month. Early releases where you get ad-free episodes. So head on over to patreon.com/thevillainwasright and check out our podcast. And thanks to everyone who supports us already. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. What do you got, Rebecca?
Okay, I was actually, I'm going to bring this up only because I was someone's hero today.
Hey!
The opportunity to shine in life. So my roommate, who doesn't normally go on, like she's not like a huge traveler person, you know what I mean? Mostly because she tutors for a job, that kind of thing. Anyway, but she was leaving for a conference this morning, and she is so lucky that I am an alcoholic. Huh. Oh my God, is this woman lucky? Because I went out last night at the Wrong Earls, and I was out last night at the Wrong Earls.
What did you call it? It was Earls and the Wrong Earls.
Literally, when I showed it to the woman, she was like, this happens all the time. And I was like, then maybe you guys should do something about this. Anyway, whatever.
Call it Earl's Jr.
Yeah, something. Yeah, perfect. So I was just like, I got like, honestly, I just got white wine drunk last night, and I do not get white wine drunk, like, ever. But the particular group of friends I was out with, we're all drinking white wine, and I get back at home, and it's, like, whatever, like, 1 a.m. or something. And I just know if I go to bed at that moment, I am going to feel terrible the next day. I'm like, no. You're actually going to run out the clock a little longer on this one. You're going to chug some water. You're going to maybe watch a movie. You're going to chill out for a bit and just, like, be up. And unfortunately, I pushed that a little too far because it was like 4:30. And at 4:30, I realized my roommate was supposed to have already left for a flight. And I went, I'm pretty sure she said her flight was at 7. And so I knock on her door, like, pretty loud, because I'm like, I had to wake you up. Like, obviously, you're sleeping. I haven't heard you leave, right? So I, like, bang on her door. She comes out. She's like, oh, no, my Lyft is waiting for me right now.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, my God. So we're just, like, both running around the apartment. She's like, can you lock the door for me? I was like, yes, of course. And she's like, handing me stuff. She's like, can you take care of this? I was like, yes, absolutely. Go. Like, and I got a confirmation text, like, an hour before I got here. She's like, I made it, baby.
Wow.
So I'm just going to call it. I'm our hero of the week.
That is a nightmare.
I'm our hero of the week.
I'm having a little bit of an anxiety attack.
Oh, my God. Because, like, you know when you're like, I don't know, you start questioning yourself. You're like, did she say 7? Because I was like, I didn't want to wake her up just in case. But then I was like, but it would be better to check.
Yeah, because that early. Imagine if you got the time wrong and she was trying to sleep in and you're like, hello, are you awake? Like, just how at 4:30 in the morning, how awkward that would be. So really glad you were right.
Yeah, I was just like, fuck it. I'm gonna call it.
Right call.
Yes!
Right call. 100%.
Oh my God. I was just so happy she made it. What do you got for us, Luba?
Okay, well, this is something that happened today. I was in the financial district. Don't ask questions.
doing cocaine.
You know me. For the listeners who don't know me, I don't do cocaine.
No.
Never have, never will.
Luba doesn't have cocaine energy.
No.
No, we discussed this off mic. I have winner's energy. And
She's wearing a very nice flower sweater.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps complimenting it, and I'll tell you again, winners. Anyways, the sweater is not the hero of the story. I was walking around, and you know those guys who, like, for whatever charity, they'll be like, hello, and they'll flag you down, and you're like, oh, here we go. But this guy was particularly friendly, and I was, like, slowly shifting away, but he was with the Red Cross, and he was like, hi. I'm so sorry, but, like, I just wanted to let you know that I work with the Red Cross and we're taking donations. And I was like, I think that's amazing. And this is something that I would normally give you money for, but my donation budget's kind of tapped out.
Yeah.
But thank you. That I'm like, we're in the financial district. I'm sure there's people here who can give you a whole lot of money. And this guy broke from his script for a second and was like, you would think so, but... The people who donate the most are people who get it. Or, you know, it's not the people who make the most money. Mm. And then he shifted back onto script. And I just, I was so heartbroken for him. And you could just see it in his eyes. And he's like, and also, if you do this, it's only $25. And I just, you know, here's the thing. It's hard to be doing what he does. I know that we're like, okay, you're selling a thing. And I've had to go on script for stuff. Like... Truly, he's in the financial district, really trying his best for Red Cross. Like, I'm going to say he's the hero.
Oh, yeah. I can, man. I feel even bad when I walk by those people because I'm like, I will not make eye contact.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sorry, you have a clipboard, okay? If I see a clipboard, I'm fucking off right away. I don't have time. I already donate to other places, and I just... Galen Weston has the rest of my money. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's tight. The financial district, you know? Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
He should be like, oh, 10 minutes in, got my budget for the day. I'm out of here. But no, he had to ask the girl with the winner's floral sweater. I wish I could have helped him, but yeah, he was nice.
Oh, that is nice.
That is nice.
So I have a villain. Just to end it on our
I like it.
Very quick one, but I'll just start this off by saying... You know when somebody says something to you and you're like, I'm not insulted, I'm not angry, I just feel incredibly seen right now.
Okay, yes, yes.
Like I am, like the eye of Sauron is on you, you know what I mean? So this happened to me recently. I was at Comedy Bar, you know what I mean? I was having one or two beverages, and another comedian comes up to me and he goes, oh, like that guy over there had a couple too many drinks and was kind of talking crazy, just being loud and annoying or whatever. So he's like, so I'm going to come over and talk to you. He say this to me. He's like, because like a conversation with Craig Faye is never crazy. Like it's never been like off the, you know, you've never been like off the rails or anything like that.
And I was
like,
they don't know you like I know you.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. And I go, yeah, I mean, that's fair enough. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You've
that's
never
nice.
Heard Craig talk about watches for an hour.
Yeah. And then he goes, well, we're going to get to that. Oh. So he's like, so it's never been crazy. It's never been off the rails. It's always a pretty good, a decent conversation with you. And he goes, I mean, I'm sure you've bored people before.
Shots fired.
And I was just like,
shots fired.
And like jokingly, like whatever, but I was just like, yeah, I mean, my interests are my interests.
Sometimes something's so good that you're just kind of like, yep.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I mean, no, like that's fair. And like we were laughing about
that's
it,
so
but
funny.
I was just like, I've been thinking about it all week and I've just been like, man, that's a good, that's a good one. Like,
that's like when that guy emailed me and he was like, why aren't your jokes going better?
What?
Yeah, this guy emailed through my website, found my website. Yeah, literally found my website and messaged me. And like, what was so perfect about it was I was like, you're not telling me my comedy's bad. Yeah. If anything, you're right on the line of like, I like it. Why don't these other people like it? But I'm like, if you meant that as a dig, it is flawless.
Yeah.
There's no fat on it. It's perfect. Like, I just looked at it and started laughing so hard. I was like, this person's actually so awesome. I'm not even mad. Like, that's so fucking cool.
Like, exactly. Right? Man. You're just like, it's not, it's like, The fairest, cleanest cut you can possibly
Game's
get.
Game's got a respect game on that. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, I've whipped out a couple of ditties that I know have stuck in people's domes for the remainder of the week. I'm sure I've said something to somebody where they thought about it for 2 weeks, okay?
Oh, yeah.
This is deserved, okay? And it was flawless, and I won't be mad at it. I will not.
Same. So I think that does it for us for this episode. You can find me at Craig Faye Comedy on any platform you're choosing. CraigFaye.com for show notes. Luba, where can people find you?
At Luba Magnus on all your socials. And I've been making a lot of content where I learn about nature, where most of it is like identifying something and then learning what it does, why it's helpful. And I think they're funny a little bit. They're energy.
They're very whimsical. I have a very nice time.
I really enjoyed
them. Yes, they're so soothing.
Yeah.
It's nature.
Nature's cool.
I'm
going for an old school vibe on them.
Love it.
No, I love them. They're great. You guys should really check those out. As always, if you want, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing.
And that does it for us this week on The Villain Was Right. Stay tuned. Next week, we've got another great episode for you dropping in your feed. And until then, this is us reminding you, don't feed the plants.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.